Okay, we are listening to you, talking about a couple of things. Okay, one, what is your skill? What is your special skill in the apocalypse? Two, your thoughts maybe if you have any regarding the petrol price increase and inflation. And three, how do you want to go? We've been running a poll on Twitter, at Cape Talk, and that poll, we've been looking at. I lost the poll results. Oh, no, there they are. We've been looking at how you'd like to be laid to rest. Burial has got 8.7%, which I find surprising. I thought South Africans were quite heavy about getting underground. I thought we were quite traditional that way. Maybe those just aren't the people on Twitter. Cremation, 82.6% of people want to be cremated out of the options. Aquification, 8.7%. That's the way that Emeritus Tutu went. And then embalming, 0%. How would you like to be laid to rest? Again, I'm still for cremation. What we don't have there is mausoleums, but it's not very easy in South Africa, what with vandalism and whatnot. But I was saying to the team how interesting it was in Buenos Aires at Recoleta. Recoleta is where Eva Perón has been mausoled. I don't know. She's in a mausoleum. In Sultanahmet in Istanbul is also another mausoleum that I happen to have seen. Recoleta, it was more the Eva Perón thing, and my mate was like, you've got to see this, you know? The cats. Okay. I don't know. Either those Egyptians were onto something, because I think cats are a thing with the pyramids, which is basically a mausoleum in and of itself. Or I'm missing the, I don't know, but like, I mean, like 30 cats. It's not like five, babes. Okay, Mario, 30 cats in a mausoleum. They just lie on the marble or they just walk around. Speaking of walk around, I definitely did do a thriller video. Yeah. Anyway, never mind. Yeah, I found that very interesting. And then the other thing that we were talking about as a team was like, how weird is it that because great-great-grandpa, before we had airplanes, before we had boats, great-great-great-grandpa once had a farm here in this particular town, in this country, and so we're going to start a family tomb. Okay. Now it's 2022. Sometimes I'm in Thailand. Sometimes I'm in Buenos Aires. Sometimes I'm in the Seychelles. And now I have to go and get embalmed or whatever and put into the mausoleum with great-great-grandpa all the way back in Timbuktu. That doesn't seem fair. Anyway, I don't know. What are your thoughts about mausoleums? It's something that, as I say, I think is quite difficult, what with the vandalism we have in South Africa, but also I don't think that happens much. All right. When you're dead, you're dead, says this WhatsApp. Sleeping is the same as dead. You only know you're sleeping when you wake up. If you didn't wake up, you wouldn't know. Being buried is wasteful. Cremation, you unite your atoms with the universe. That is the science of atomic life cycles. Well, people who get buried like to think dust to dust. And that we're replenishing the earth. People who get aquified feel the same way. I don't have an imposition of that kind of belief, I think. Rufina, I'm worried that I die in my sleep and my dog is stuck in the house with no one to rescue her. Oh. I don't have time to tell you about the day I almost choked to death on a little piece of my apple. And I was like, my housekeeper's not coming tomorrow. When? Or she was coming the next day. What will she find? Yeah, it's very scary sometimes. Shad says, I think Kosatu has been much too silent on corruption over the years and conveniently speaks now after the damage is done. Oh, they haven't been silent. Don't you remember the stage in 2007? The people who were behind Zuma who said they would kill for him? Zeni Zimavavi was there. Julius Malema was there. I believe Gwede Mantashe was there. Oh, no, that photo is very famous. They were very loud. Okay. How influential are you? Some of you might like a post here and there. Have you influenced the world? The world. And are you one of the 100 people who have influenced the world the most? Our next guest, Professor Tulio de Oliveira, actually happens to be one of Time's 100 most influential people in the world. That was announced this week. We look forward to talking to him at 12 minutes past 8.
Breakfast with Refilwe Mulata
on Cape Talk.
Professor Tulio de Oliveira joining us this morning from Stellenbosch. It's such a pleasure to welcome you back to the show. Not to bother you for what's what you've been studying at this particular time. Bioinformatician and director at CERI, the Center for Epidemic Response and Innovation at Stellenbosch University. How are you this morning and congratulations?
Thank you. I'm very well and I'm back in South Africa and really excited to be here.
Were you away for the celebrations related to the Time 100?
No, no. The Time 100 celebrations will be beginning of June, in New York. But I was away to an even more exciting thing, that was the Nobel Symposium of Medicine in Sweden, where South Africa was highlighted as one of the most advanced countries on the scientific response, especially for infectious disease and epidemics. And it was fantastic to see such a big organization such as the Nobel and the Nobel Symposium begin to recognize the high-quality science that we can do in South Africa and Africa.
That's incredible. We were trying to highlight that on Africa Day, actually, and so this is wonderful to hear that it's being recognized around the world. Tullio, you know, we've known the kind of influence that you've had and insight that you've had that's made such a big difference to the fight against COVID-19 in terms of your genome sequencing and how passionate you are about that and keeping an eye on that. I'm curious to know what really got you into this particular field.
So I have been working on epidemics for the past 25 years, and I started my work here in South Africa in 1997, working a lot on the HIV epidemic, and then after that we also work a lot with genomic sequence on the TB, the tuberculosis, and then in the last 10 years we were already recognized by the scientific community as some of the leading people in the world on genomics, epidemiology of infectious disease. And then we are invited to help to respond to all the major epidemics that happened the last 10 years, such as the Zika, the dengue, the chikungunya, yellow fever virus in South America. Yeah. And then when the SARS-CoV-2 came, we were very quick to prepare and to use all this experience that we have acquired in the last 25 years to really guide the world on how better to identify variants, but also how better to respond. And many of your listeners may be aware that in the last few weeks, we have detected other two variants, the BA4 and BA5 in South Africa. But this time we could guide very, very, very quick our government. That was no need to increase the restrictions. Yeah. And we are just finishing what is a kind of 50 wave of resurgence with very little hospitalizations and deaths. And that's the important thing, is how quick and fast identify what is coming and help to prepare to respond.
That's incredible. And just to give a bit more color to what you're saying, also for those who may not be aware, sorry, the particular mention within the Time 100 most influential people, Tullio is actually mentioned in the pioneering category, and when he's speaking about the variant discovery, and he's mentioned alongside Botswana Harvard HIV Reference Lab Director Sikulile Moyo, and the two of them identified and reported the emergence of the Omicron variant, which actually seems to be the most lasting variant. Am I right, Tullio? I mean, the others kind of got overtaken, but you guys seem to have found the one that will likely be the endemic one, that whose variants stay with us for long.
Yes, yes, exactly. And for us, that was also very exciting, because many people will not know, but Sikulile Moyo was a PhD student of mine.
Yes, I read that.
University, yeah. And it's so exciting when we see that we can not only do capacity building in South Africa and Africa, and that the people that we graduate go to lead some of the biggest programs in the country, and that excites me more than be recognized as an innovator by the Time. It's just it's what we are very passionate. We have trained thousands of people in South Africa and Africa on that. And it's fantastic that some of them now are sitting next to us as leaders in the field.
I wish I studied bioinformation. Bioinformation? because now, you know, I want a professor that's as impassioned about his students as you. So talk to me about, if you don't mind my asking a little bit more personal, you know, so you are of Brazilian origin. And you're a naturalized South African, and we claim you as one of our own, so no question about that. But what excited you about South Africa besides the same, you know, line of latitude?
No, so what many people don't know is that my mother is originally from Mozambique. Yeah,
of course.
And she was very, very involved in the freedom movement in Mozambique, which got very dangerous. That's why she went in kind of exile to Brazil. And the day that Mandela became the president, she arrived in our dinner and said, "We are going back to Africa." Yeah. And because she knew that then the civil war would finish in Mozambique, was mostly funded by the apartheid. And so we arrived here very, very early in January 1997. Mandela was still the president. We stayed in South Africa with my sisters because the universities in Mozambique were still very bad. Yeah. And then I stayed, got married with a South African and really participate in a very important phase of the country, that wonderful phase of the end of the 90s that
yes.
We transformed from a country that was really discriminative to the Rainbow Nation. And then I got in love with this country, and I'm so glad that I can contribute back.
We love you right back, Tulio. Thank you so much. Thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for taking our calls and our interview requests, even at 6 a.m. sometimes. We won't bother you too much any further. We just wanted to say that this is normally where we celebrate a trailblazer here on Breakfast, but there's no better title than being one of Time's 100 most influential people alongside Sikhulile Moyo. Congratulations, and thank you so much for what you've done for the world.
Thank you.
All right, then. Have a great weekend.